This is the Generation Example Podcast.
Topic today is, where's my thing? Dating. Okay, so this is what I want you guys to do. Pull out your cell phones. Everybody hold your cell phone up. Let me see your hold your cell phone up. Okay, here you go. If you don't have a cell phone, just borrow the one from the person next to you. If you got a question, this is what I want you guys to do. Just think about your life right now as it concerns to dating, and whatever questions that you guys have about dating as far as anything. I mean, really everything's, there's no off limits right now. I want you guys to go ahead and text into that number. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to go right in. And this is a huge subject because I think dating is an issue that I think everybody in this room is dealing with right now. And something that, you know, I think in the long run has caused a lot of pain for different people. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite our guest panel guests, our guests. How do I say that? I'm going to invite our panel guests up right now, and I'm going to allow them an opportunity to introduce themselves. So, can you guys all please give a warm GX welcome to Pat and Charmaine Williams. Come on up. All right. So, while you guys are texting your questions in, I'm going to give them just a minute to introduce themselves, and that'll be fun. So, here we go. Who wants to start? There we go.
I'm Pat Williams. It's my wife, Charmaine. We've been married, this Saturday, we will have been married 22 years.
Wow.
So we've been married 22 years.
22 on the 22nd.
Yep, on the 22nd. We dated for two years?
We dated, well.
That's another story, so we won't go there. But we'll try to answer your questions. We will. We'll try to answer your questions as best we can. So, Charmaine, do you want to add?
Yeah. So, I'm Charmaine Williams. Pat and I met at Santa Clara University. So, he was 2 years ahead of me and got on campus really excited, living in the dorm, lots of fun. Went to a party back then they actually had an all-guys dorm, and the guys' dorm was a hotel. So they couldn't fit them all, so they put the guys, like, in a dorm on the Alameda. And we were like, hey, it sounds like that's going to be a great party. So we and some friends all went over there, and the party was in the parking lot, so it was pretty cool. Anyways, I met Pat briefly and then got to know him through different clubs and organizations over the course of time. So, yeah, so Pat and I, fast forward, we dated as friends for quite some time, and then I know Pat's always, he'll give you that information. So we basically, when we decided that we really wanted to move our relationship forward, we had to sit down and meet with the officiant, the person who was going to marry us, and he rolled out like 100 questions in a questionnaire. And back then it was like this little Scantron thing. You guys bubble in for ACT and ACT, and you basically, they fed in my responses and his responses, and then it fed out, and then it was like he would meet with us like every 2 weeks and say, hey, I noticed Charmaine, you answered A, and Pat, you answered E. And I'd look at A and he'd look at E and be like, what? You know, what are you thinking? And I'd be like, what are you thinking? And then we'd kind of have a nice, friendly sort of conversation. But it really helped us. And from that, we found that we had a lot of other friends that were in relationships who really didn't take the time to figure out what the other person was thinking. They just assumed that they knew how the other person thought. And a lot of those relationships fell to the wayside after we got married. So. We now do a class called Marriage Fundamentals, and the whole premise of it is for people to come and get educated. We're not there to marry people. We're not there for anybody to put a ring on each other's finger. We're there so that you guys, people here, can get information about what it is to be in a relationship.
So in that class, it's 14 to 15 weeks. We have couples that are either just dating, already engaged, about to become engaged, or have been recently been married. So we've been doing the class here for about 12 years, so twice a year. So about 12 years, twice a year. So we've answered a lot of questions, you know, we come across a lot of situations, seen a lot of things, so we'll try to share as much as we can.
Awesome. Okay, Charles, how are we doing back there? We got questions ready? All right, so we got a minute to fill. So you guys want to say anything else?
We'll talk about, we'll talk about our friendship.
Yeah.
No. No.
Well, go ahead. Because you, my husband always gets that look on his face.
Well, specifically, we were, so this topic is about dating. So our dating relationship, we started out as friends. So we were friends for a while. I was interested in becoming more, but she was not. So that's where you see the back and forth. There was some questioning, but as you can see, it all worked out.
Yeah.
All right, was that enough time, Charles?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Good job. All right, so here we go. Question number one, all right? And remember, if you guys got more questions, feel free to keep texting them back and make Charles earn his money back there. Okay. Question number one, so I'll read them and then you guys can go ahead and see if you guys can answer them. Is there a barrier in a relationship if one person a Christian and the other isn't? Good question.
Do you want us to just take turns answering and kind of go back and forth? From my perspective, it's a definite yes, that is a barrier. Because are you guys familiar with what the Bible says about relationships in that particular area? Anybody familiar with that verse? Do not be unequally yoked. So what I take that to mean as a Christian, your whole world view and how you do life is different to this person. So fundamentally, you are not pursuing the same thing. So if you're in a dating relationship, it's going to clash. And we have people in our class that will bring other individuals that are not Christians. And what we tell them is you have to look and see, what does God expect you to do? What has God asked you to do? God does not give suggestions. He gives you the best path that will lead you ultimately to happiness. Now, along that path, it might not feel like this is the best thing to do. It'll feel like you're missing out. It'll feel like you're missing something. But if you trust God enough, you will see that he has something better for you on the other side.
And what I would add is that you have to be really cautious on this whole word Christian, because a lot of people, if they grew up in a Christian household, or you know, their parents go to church or read the Bible, even though that's not really their beliefs, they'll say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. And so at the end of the day, I think you really need to ask some hard questions, you know. And I would say that you don't necessarily bombard them with it on the first time you meet them. It's like, oh, hey, would you like to go out? And, you know, maybe it's somebody in this room. Would you like to go out and grab something at In-N-Out? Well, no, I need to know, you know, what does your family believe? What do you believe? When do you believe it? You know, that might be just a little over the top. But I would say the fact that you're going out as friends, or that you're grabbing a bite to eat or whatever, is a great opportunity to not only share more about your faith and who you are, but look for the conversation to unfold as they share what they believe and who they are. Because just somebody who says they're a Christian doesn't necessarily make them so.
Yeah, all right. Good answer, good answer. Okay, next question. Charles, hit me back. Should someone date in high school? Great question.
Okay.
what do you guys think?
I dated in high school, so right or wrong or indifferent. I did date in high school. I'm trying to think of what to say. I would say, again, it just goes back to really having an idea of where the person's coming from. So one of the things that I found actually helpful is that I did that. I dated, and I dated a lot of different people. Here was my, and I'm giving you my own personal opinion, I felt as if I really was like arm in arm with one person all the time, that then they would get some idea of something moving more seriously than it was. And so it was important for me to tell them, you know, hey, we're friends, love to go out with you, but that they understood what they were getting into on the front end. And then that way it kind of gave me almost a barrier, in the sense that I didn't have one person thinking that, you know, hey, I called you, where were you? I showed up here, how come you didn't sit with me? I did that, you know, so because there's this tendency to try to make something exclusive, in my opinion, too quickly. And so that was just my way of kind of keeping people thinking, yeah, we're just friends, because maybe next week she might grab a bite to eat with someone different. And it wasn't like it was, I was dating all over the place all the time, but I'm just trying to give you guys, there was definitely some space that I gave in that area.
So let me just ask a question. So when you were saying you were dating, you weren't exclusively dating.
I wasn't exclusively
dating.
So
you were more engaged in a number of friendships with people with the opposite sex. You weren't really dating.
Correct.
The dating term today.
Right.
Okay.
And so I that's a good question. What is the dating term today? I might need to get a better feel for what somebody qualifies as dating. But I'm very adamant about people creating exclusive relationships early in their relationship, early in their high school and even early college years, because at the end of the day, are you marrying these individuals? Likely not. But then when we create that exclusivity, all of a sudden there's just this pressure to do a little more, you know, prove that, you know, it's worth just having you in my life and not a bunch of other people. And at the end of the day, I wanted people to understand that I wasn't trying to do a bunch of physical stuff with you, and therefore don't feel obligated that I need to be the person that you eat, live, and breathe by. And so that was just, again, a way that I kind of kept that distance.
So I would say in high school, it's a very important time to give some real thought as to where you as an individual want to go. Because if you, there are people, I mean, the staff we used to work with, they met in high school. Mm-hmm. But when they met, they were committed to each other and they knew where they were going. So I would say as far as dating in high school, you'd have to define that term. What do you mean? What does that involve? And then don't let that become the dominant factor in your life. Because more than likely, a lot of things in your life are going to change. And that person that you're with, that right now you think you can't, you know, the sun won't shine if you don't see them, in a few years down the road, it's just going to be a memory.
Yeah, because people, you know, many of you will go to college. You'll be going to college at different locations. Now you got to figure out, okay, we've been, you know, kind of just this twosome, and then, you know, am I going to run out to New York to join you, or are you going to stay here in New Mexico with me? It's just, there's just a lot of complications, and a lot of it, again, as I said, from the standpoint that you need to enjoy your singlehood. You really do. You need to recognize that being single is a great thing. It's a fun thing. You can still have friends. You can still have people that occasionally take you out or that you ask occasionally out. But I think unless God is leading you otherwise to really become exclusive with another individual, that you're just setting yourself up for some heartache that I don't necessarily think needs to be there so early in your, you know, in your high school and college years.
Yeah, great. Thank you. All right, Charles, hit me back. Next question. Should Christian couples be completely abstinent until marriage? Good question.
Easy answer, yeah.
You want to elaborate, like, why? You know, we all know the Bible says so, but what are some things that you've seen where can create problems as far as, issues with not being abstinent, and what are some of the pitfalls? I mean, even talking a little bit about that exclusivity you talked about.
Right. And so there's just this tendency. So Pat and I can use ourselves as an example. And I could probably say when I was dating in high school, I did have some boyfriends, some people that basically said, yeah, Charmaine. And I wasn't a strong Christian, so I need you guys to understand that. I was in a church that, you know, I knew who Jesus was and everything else, but I hadn't fully given my life over to having God do basically be the primary authority in my life. I had some areas where he was the primary authority, and I had some other areas where I was like, you know, I think I can kind of work this out on my own, and, you know, Jesus, I'll call you if I need to, type of thing. And so, and I'm just being honest with you guys because that's where I was at. So I had some boyfriends and some relationships, and a lot of times those relationships would move farther along than I think they needed to move farther along. And it was I'm thankful to God that in those situations I didn't put myself in a very vulnerable or detrimental situation. And then through the course of time, I started figuring out that, you know, as I said again, having that exclusivity so early in the relationship just puts a lot of added pressure on you, and it puts a lot of added pressure on the other person to try to keep everything, you know, to not, because we're naturally, God has made us naturally attracted to the opposite sex, naturally wanting to have that connectivity, that relationship, someone that's, you know, that's basically in your corner no matter what. That's how God has created us. The question then becomes, how quickly are you willing to commit to that type of thing? Because with that commitment comes a lot of responsibility. So being abstinent for us, Patrick and I, once we got to college, we had a lot of friends that decided to move in together with each other in their college years. And Pat and I just said we weren't going to do that. That wasn't something that we felt was appropriate. I had my dad, actually, was interesting because I was the oldest, and he actually used to call, you know, it's 1 a.m, where are you? And I'd be like, really? This is back when there were phones in the room or whatever. And he'd ring, and it's like, if I didn't pick up the phone, it's like, well, where is she, you know? And I'd be like, oh, you know, I, you know, went out with Pat. And he just had to make some adjustments in his head, too, to trust that, you know, there wasn't much going on there. But still, it was a concern. And I look back now, and I was happy that I had a parental figure that cared enough to say, hey, you know, pace yourself. Don't be jumping and running, you know, too fast. And the other thing was that we made the decision that we were moving toward marriage. And so we knew what that commitment involved, and we wanted to do it right by God.
Yeah, I would say abstinence is what the Bible calls us to. But you have, if you just focus on that and you don't understand why, if you understand that sex is a gift from God meant to be enjoyed by us, but it's meant to be enjoyed in a certain way. And when we take the things that God has given us and we try to attain them outside of his guidelines, you end up with nothing but pain. It's not going to be. And where we fall short, I think, is when we don't obey and do what God says, when we're disobedient to what he has called us to do, and then you engage on that and you say, nothing may not happen immediately. You may feel fine. And sin is enjoyable. Sex is enjoyable. It's something that's going to drive you and something that you want. That's the issue you'd have with being exclusive that early. It's going to be hard to maintain yourself through that whole time and not be obedient to God. And every time we're disobedient to God, then we reap the consequences. And if you have a lot of sexual relationships prior to getting married, that is going to cause issues in your marriage. And your marriage, when you ultimately get to that point, is not going to be all that you would want it to be.
Yeah, good answer. I agree. Good. Next question. Hit me back, Charles. Should teens wait a couple of years after high school to start dating? Should teens wait a couple of years after high school?
In my opinion, see, I'll say in our class, what I try to say is if the Bible is specific on something, I will say it that way. And if something's my opinion, then I'll say it's my opinion. In my opinion, no. I mean, you can date whenever. It's as to why, to how, and to who you're dating. Those are the key issues as to, rather than a strict timetable.
Mm. Good. I agree.
Yeah, there are people who meet in high school and get married, and they do it right, and they do everything good. I mean, that happens. And so to say that you can't meet your spouse in high school, I think, would be that's kind of a legalistic thing. But I think, you know, and I think what Pat said is right. How and why and what are you doing and what are your goals? Mm-hmm. Hit me back, Charles. Next question. How do you know when you found the person God has for you? Great question. How do you know?
For me, it was really interesting because I had been dating a lot of different people, and it was almost like I was finishing up my sophomore year in college, or was I even a little older? Probably finishing, let me think about that. yeah, I was finishing up my year as a sophomore. And I started to ask myself the hard questions, meaning that I enjoyed dating. I enjoyed meeting different guys and being, you know, group dates and different things like that. It was all fun. But then I started asking myself, well, what are you really looking for in all of this? You know, so sometimes you start dating people. You know, I can remember I had this one guy that I was dating that played for the 49ers. Or did, I don't know. He played for one of the professional teams. And he was like, you know, we've been dating for a little while. And then he was like, well, when are you going to move in? And I'm like, move in? And he's like, yeah. He goes, you know, I really care about you and I'd like you to move in and we can kind of hang out and stuff. And I said, I have no intention of moving in with you. And he was kind of put aback, maybe because he was used to, and he probably had a wide selection of women that he could choose from to move into his place. But at the end of the day, you have to think about what your values are. And I said, look, that's not my value system. That's, you know, but if you feel like you need to, you know, be out there doing your thing, then go ahead. And that was a breakup. So back to my story, when I hit that time where I was really questioning what is it that I really want, I want someone that really was God-honoring, that really had a heart for God, that really, that I could have fun with, laugh with, and everything else, but I had some very specific things that I was really looking for in that individual. And Pat and I had been friends for a while by that time, because Pat was, you know, finishing up kind of his senior year. I was going into my junior year. He was had actually graduated. And I just felt like God was calling me to, you know, call him and say, because, well, yeah. And so anyways, long story short, we started dating. And I could tell that that was really where God was placing me.
This question actually comes up a lot in our class. And there's no, I don't think there's like a magic wand answer. You know, the skies are not going to part. God's not going to zap you on your head. But one of the things you have to be, one of the things we talk about in the class is you have to be aware of what is the difference between being infatuated with somebody and actually being in love. And one of the concepts we talked about is, are you the right person? Or are you just searching for the right person? Mm-hmm. Be willing to take care of yourself. Who develop above everything else your relationship with God. God says, you put me first, and I'll take care of everything else. But if you try to go around and meet your own needs, one of the things God will do is let you do it, and then when it all messes up and you bring back all the junk that you have, you will have wasted a lot of time. So I think you need to, you know, you have a certain amount of time in that relationship. Is this person committed to God? First, am I committed to God? Am I seeking to please him above everything else? And then trust him with the details of your life.
I was just going to add, I'm also, you know, just piggybacking on what Pat just said, it was important to me that I saw some leadership qualities in the men that I was interested in. It was important to me that I felt that they could take responsibility not only for themselves, but they would take responsibility for me. And so when I found that there were guys that were looking for other stuff, then I started asking myself a question, are they really in it for me? Are they really thinking about what I need? Or are they only thinking about what they need? And when I could sense that, and I'm thankful to the Lord that I could discern it, then it was time to say adios and just trust. But there was a lot of painful times. I'll be honest with you. There was a lot of people that I kind of liked. And then, you know, when I kind of finally said, you know, hey, this is what I really feel I need to do, I was thinking that they would kind of straighten up. And a lot of them didn't. They was like, okay, well, good luck to you. And they would leave. And I'd be like, oh, okay, God, that was tough. That was hard. And so I won't say that there weren't some heartache-type situations when you start to date and then you start to really feel like this person could be something more to you than just a casual friend. But at the end of the day, your allegiance has got to be to the Lord.
Yeah, great answers. Hit me back, Charles. Next one. What's the best thing to do? What's the best thing to do when you start dating? So this is one of those ones, it's kind of, I don't quite understand the question, so...
I would say one of the best things to do when you start dating is to make sure you're safe. You know, as women, we need to be safe. Don't just make assumptions that, oh, I met him at church, or I met him at my, you know, or he's a friend of a friend, and so we can be off somewhere exclusively, and, you know, I can just trust. He seems like a nice guy. I can just trust that everything is going to go cool and there's not going to be any issues. I would say you need to put on your caution flags and you need to make sure that when you start dating that you're in open public places, that your family knows where you're going. You know, some of us think, you know, well, hey, why do they need to know where I'm going? Well, if you get into a predicament and we got to go out there and find you, we'd like to have some idea of where you really are. And there have been women in serious predicaments that nobody knew where to even start looking for them. And so I would say from a female standpoint, you've got to be cautious.
What's the best thing to do when you start dating? Next question, Charles, come back. Is it weird to date someone at church? Is it weird to date someone at church?
I mean, weird, like, weird as in awkward?
Yeah.
I think church would actually be a good place to meet them. It'd be a good place to meet them because you could say they know about it, and then that would give you a starting point. Are you here just to be here? Are you here? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do I have a relationship with the Lord? And do you? Is that something we can work on together? And then, as Charmaine has been saying, you start. It doesn't have to be, when you say dating, it doesn't have to be like we're getting married next month.
I would just add, too, though, that still in this room full of people, when you start dating someone that you know in class and so forth, and then, you know, maybe the one person wants something more than what you might have to offer as far as the friendship goes, it can become a little awkward. Or, you know, if you've dated someone in here and then, you know, they've decided they want to date someone else, but you really kind of like them a little bit more than you let on, it could be a distraction. That's probably my best thought there, is that you just need to be careful what you set up as the parameters on the front end. Make sure that you guys agree to those parameters so that there's no hurt feelings. And so, you know, if they are dating you, but they're also going to be, you know, hanging out with other people, then you know that up front. So somebody's not saying, oh, girl, did you see he walked in with such and such, you know, out of the parking lot. What's going on there? And then all of a sudden you're distracted. You can't even hear what's going on here in service because you're caught up with who they happen to be with, which there may be nothing going on. So just be cautious with that. If you're the type of person that tends to want to kind of gravitate and hold on to someone, this may not be the best place. And so you've got to kind of discern what's going to work for you.
Great. Great answer. Charles, how many more we got? A bunch. Okay, let's go. We only got about 5 minutes, so we're going to speed through the rest. So hit me back, Charles. Next question. How do you know when dating who's the one? I think we kind of covered that before, so we'll just go to the next one, Charles. Let's go to the next one. How do you avoid trouble or chaos when introducing the person you're dating to your parents? Oh, good question. Oh. Well, mom and dad, how do you do that?
Well, I would say from a parental aspect, I mean, you need to set up and know, kind of get an idea of what your parents expect. Kind of let them know. And then, you know, trust. I mean, I don't, from a parental aspect, I would never want to cause chaos unless she walked in my house with just some fool. And that's my own definition. I'll leave that my own personal definition. And that was me speaking totally talking as a dad. So I would say it's as if you're a guy. No. Yeah, Brianna's my daughter, but that would be in general for anybody. I would hope somebody, if I was a guy, you know, if you were a guy and you were trying to date one of my daughters and you just drove up and honked the horn, you got to come up and meet me and look me in the eye. And it's not that I'm going to beat you down, but from a parental aspect, I just want to know who you are. Because as a parent, whether you see it or like it or not, we would tend to think more long-term than you would tend to. So there may be some things that we would see that maybe you would not see. I would not ever be in a situation where I would cause chaos. But it is an area of concern just because they're your parent or me as a father. It's just an area of concern. So I have four daughters, so that's like near to my heart.
I think we pretty much covered it. How do you avoid trouble? I would just say, you know what? You guys know your parents. You've been around them, you know, 14, 15, 18 years, whatever. You know what your parents can consider a comfortable situation and uncomfortable situation. And so don't push them over the edge. You know, here they are. They're very, conservative or whatever. And then you just roll in with, you know, some girl's skirt, like, can barely cover her butt, and she's, you know, all her cleavage is showing, and she has a seat down on your mom's couch, she's going to be like, whoa, what's up? Who's this? You know, so you need to, and you might even ask yourselves why you're dating someone like that. At the end of the day, recognize that you do have some control over how your parents and family respond. A lot of it is, like he said, don't bring over someone that you can tell. And if you can't tell, one of your friends should tell you, whoa, she's a little rough around the edges, or he is. You need to clean him up. Do something. So.
Yeah, and I think also this topic of parents, because I'm a parent too, and I think about this stuff. You know, a lot of these questions, you know, should I be dating in high school? Should I not be dating in high school? Some of that is going to be dictated by your parents a little bit. You know what I mean? And I want you guys, the Bible says that we need to honor our mother and father. And what that also means is if mom and dad have a no dating till whatever, then you need to honor that. I mean, it doesn't really matter what we say, because the Bible doesn't have anything about it. And so you really need to default a lot of this. If your parents, you know, say it's okay to date, or they're not really involved in that aspect, then it's time for you to start thinking, okay, well, should I start dating? Is this something that I really need to start doing or whatever? And so then you need to work that out. But you really need to defer to some of this to your parents as we talk about parenting.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. And you really want to continue to honor them as long as you're living underneath their roof and they're paying for your toothpaste.
Yeah. And I mean, right? I had some people that I actually had a friend that I met at Great America. I was probably 13, 14 years old, and he lived in Oakland, and he kind of taken a liking to me. And frankly, he used to take many, many buses and stuff to come down. And when he came down, he'd spend time with my family. And so my mom and dad never felt that uncomfortable, because they felt like he came to the house, he sat down, he interacted with my full family, and then I would walk him, you know, back to take how many ever buses or whatever to get back where he was going. But at the end of the day, there was a respect, and I think that's the key word.
Yeah, great. Next question, Charles. Hit me back. Are blind dates or internet dating a bad idea to start dating? Blind dates. I think I met my wife on a blind date, though. Babe, was that a blind date, technically? Yeah. So
I would say no. I just had this as a discussion point yesterday. I was with the women's conference, and social media and social dating on the internet, that type of stuff was part of our discussion. And so my short answer is no, but it is a starting point, you know, because people they're not always telling the full truth when they fill out these profiles and different things like that. And so you need it to be a starting point. And then from there, you need to do everything we've been talking to you about. Get to know the person, you know, be careful where you go with the individual that you've just got a name from, all that type of stuff. There's just some precautionary things that you need to evaluate.
Yeah, good answer. All right, Charles, next question. How do you stop your parents from embarrassing you in front of your date? I don't think you can.
Define embarrassing.
Yeah.
What I mean, what would you mean?
That's a good
embarrassing
question.
Like,
yeah, what would be embarrassing? What do you guys think? What would be embarrassing?
Baby pictures.
Baby pictures.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Well, I could say, as far as embarrassing, you know, that's a wide gamut, and that's a lot up to you. I know from a parental aspect, if because I've had to go over to people's house, and I can remember having to, this was a long time ago, I can remember having to ask a potential date, ask her dad if I could take her out. So it depends on what, you know, by embarrassing, you just, like you said, is it remains respectful? Does the person I want to date even know how to interact with my family with a level of respect? Does he know or she know how to do that? And then do you know your family? And then I think you could start and go from there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very easy to have some discussions with your family. At the end of the day, your mom, dad, or whoever's parentally watching over you, they want to be part of that. They want to be involved in getting to know your friends, just like you bring your guy friends or girlfriends over. They want to get to know who this other person might be. But you may say, you know, hey, mom, dad, you know, calling me Pookie is just not going to work. You know, so there's certain things that you can have a discussion about, because sometimes parents can miss the ball too. we're not always, you know, all knowing and perfect. And so, you know, sometimes we have some nicknames for you and we'll shoot out the nickname. And that was no intention of anybody knowing, let alone the person that you're dating. So just, I think, having some preliminary discussions with your family members. Hey, this is a friend. I really want them to get to know you. But hey, these are some of the things that concern me or worry me about bringing him or her over. So that's a good start.
Yeah. Good answer. All right, Charles, have one more. Two more. Great.
Okay.
Last two. Next question. Is dating something you should talk about with your pastor?
Ooh.
Good question. What do you guys think?
I think that's a good step. I think sometimes parents, you know, I'll be honest, parents can be a little bit overwhelmed in the sense that they've had you for X number of years. And so in their mind, they could think, wow, this person, you know, my child, my daughter's never going to be ready for dating. Maybe when she's 18, because I don't want any guy like all up on her. And, you know, they've got all, you know, parents have, or even for their son, you know, that's my baby. And, you know, who's she coming over, calling on the phone, you know? So we have some of our own issues that we're contending with as we realize that you guys are growing into manhood and womanhood. But at the end of the day, a pastor is a very good person. And a lot, you guys have some phenomenal pastors here with Pastor Daniel, Pastor Gina, Pastor Marcus, and you have a lot of others that help, that are here helping continuously, and you guys need to be willing to talk to them about it because they bring a perspective that could be very, very helpful to you, and you don't feel it's as biased as maybe a family member or parent would do.
Yeah, good answer.
I would say yes, it's appropriate in any, I would say it's appropriate in any aspect of your life if you have somebody that you feel that you can go to and give you advice or speak to you in that particular area would be great.
Yeah. All right, last question. How do you handle dating someone of a different religion? Good question. I think we kind of answered it, but go ahead. And
so I would say of a different religion, that kind of goes back to the first, you know, as... You know, first you have to look at your relationship to the Lord. Are you a committed Christian? Are you interested in pleasing God above anyone else, including yourself? And what God has said is do not be unequally yoked, meaning someone from another, no faith or another faith. And so for now it can be, you know, then you run into some traditional things. You know, when Charmaine and I were dating, Charmaine's background was Catholic. Mine was not. So we're both Christian, but there were some differences. So there were some family dynamics and things that had to be worked out. So it you know, I think the first part of that, you'd have to go back to the first question. Is this going to put me in a position where I'm unequally yoked? But otherwise, if it's just different, you know, like Catholic or Protestant or something like that, then that's something you'll have to work through.
Because there's, you know, we have a whole class on this in our marriage classes because there are a lot of people that meet and there's different faith practices. You know, some people are a lot more conservative in what's acceptable and others are not. And again, if it's not biblically based, you know, you really have to kind of figure out what's going to work within your family dynamic or your future family dynamic. When you're dating, I would just say, you know, sometimes God places people in your life. And the other thing is sometimes you're not necessarily at the same spiritual maturity. And that's something to think about too. Somebody who's been a believer a little bit longer than you may just be figuring stuff out. And that's why dating is important, to keep it kind of simple, because a lot of times we can find ourselves fast forwarding and God is still trying to work on them and work through some of their issues. And now you've added your dynamic in there. And you've gotten in the way of what work God needs to do in that person's life. And so that's what I would say on that subject. Junior, you had your hand up?
So I would say that term comes back from the biblical perspective. If we're following Christ, if Christ is the one we are trying to please and the other person is not, then you are different at the base of who you are. So they're not going in the same direction that you are. And you might have, God does not give us commands and directions to hold us back from having fun. Those guidelines are in place to lead you to what he has that is best for you.
Yeah. I would
whipping her.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about unequally yoked, a lot of us, when we talk about a believer and non-believer, but I think as Charmaine was saying, you can both be Christians and one person be really on fire for the Lord and really moving in a way where they want to honor God with their life. And the other person's, they're kind of a Christian, but they kind of still want to do their own thing and they still confess that Jesus is Lord and all that stuff. I would say you're both still unequally yoked. I mean, you can both be believers and be unequally yoked. I mean, it's hard enough to be married when you guys have everything in common, right. Much less, be married and have everything opposite. It becomes a huge challenge. Yeah. So,
and a lot of that stems from, I mean, there's tons of different issues that where you'll see that arise. And that's the reason why we think it's imperative that you actually give yourself some space, ask appropriate questions, get to know the individual, not even just what they're saying, but what do their friends have to say about them? What do their family members have to say about them? Do they really attend that church that they say they're attending? Maybe show up a Sunday and look and see what they're about. I mean, there's just so many things you can do to be a little bit more direct in your approach of figuring out if someone's the one. But if you just kind of get lazy with it and just say, well, they're a Christian and I'm a Christian, so we're just going to move this forward because I'm lonely. You're already heading in the wrong direction because you're going to be very lonely in marriage. Some of us think you're going to be very lonely exclusively to someone who's not got it, not pulled themselves together, not worked on them. So these are things that you guys got to think about.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, let's give Pat and Charmaine a big GX welcome. Lord, thank you. Thank you guys very much. We have two more left. Our next two topics are, you will have to come and find out. So we got two more weeks. I want to thank you guys all for coming. Thank you guys all for great questions. And I want to encourage you guys to come on back next week. Let me pray real quick, and then you guys will be excused. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that when we date, Lord, we can do so in a way that gives you honor and glory. I pray, Lord, that we would really learn not just how to date, Lord, but that we would learn to be the people that you're calling us to be, Lord, in all the relationships we have in this life, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys are excused.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.